This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, August 18th.
Nick, the S&P 500 ended up just shy of a record high.
It's like that scene in Mission Impossible. You got Tom Cruise on the floor, basically hovering, chest hair touching.
He's like, don't sweat. Don't sweat.
No. This happens to be the best one we have ever put out for Snacks Daily.
For our first story, Tesla stock keeps doing this magic trick. It goes up. For no reason.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But Elon may have discovered his second profit puppy. Just sell the battery.
Sweet battery, man. Where'd you get it?
Second story, Jack. What do we got?
Diageo is the world's largest liquor company, and it's dropping $500 million on Ryan Reynolds gin brand.
Jack, Negroni recipe for you. One part Campari, one part vermouth, one part gin, one part total dependence on a direct-to-consumer celebrity marketing scheme.
For our third and final story, Uber and Lyft have faced regulatory speed bumps before, but on August 20th, they're getting the boot in California.
Your wait time for the black Honda Civic is estimated at 3.5 months.
Computing, computing, computing.
But before we get to all that, happy T-Boy Tuesday.
On this wonderful T-Boy Tuesday, we're talking about the shocking winner of the Corona Economy Part 28.
Yep, it turns out it's Crocs.
Crocs is the Teva of second half of 2020.
Snackers, we've said it before, in media, content is king. Jack, what are we saying now about fashion?
In fashion and apparel, comfort is king during the Corona Economy.
When you're not seeing other humans, you put the function over the fashion.
Now, Nick, it's funny. I consider Crocs the petroleum-based cousin to Birkenstocks.
Yes.
Because they're super comfortable.
Not plant-based.
And some are repulsed by the aesthetics of them.
I like where you're going with this.
Well, this is why I have to give a full disclosure. This is Jack, and I'm wearing Crocs right now, Nicholas.
That means Jack's perfectly prepared in case there's a 2 inches of flooding that suddenly hits his apartment.
Not just the perfect footwear for the Corona Economy, the perfect stock, apparently, because the stock of Crocs has quadrupled since the Corona Economy crash in March.
Snackers, get this. Jack and I discovered they have 10 straight quarters of over 7% sales growth in their stores.
Part of their spectacular success is the power of the collaboration.
Didn't see this one coming. Seems like they kind of threw this up on a chalkboard last Tuesday.
They launched a KFC version of Crocs, which actually smells like fried chicken.
We did mean KFC as in Kentucky Fried Chicken. It comes with a 3D replica of a drumstick over the non-existent laces.
No laces. They launched it this month and it has already sold out.
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Tesla stock jumped 11% yesterday on word it may have found its second profit puppy. The first profit puppy, of course, was electric cars. The second could be just the batteries for electric cars. Jack, can you please recite to me the mission that Tesla employees have to say probably every time they enter the factory?
First, I'm going to stand up straight, and then I'm going to say, to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy.
One way to hurt the environment less is with electric cars instead of cars like literally burning fuel. That's what they're getting at here.
Yeah, the internal combustion engine, emphasis on combustion, which means burning gasoline into the sky.
So electric vehicles became Tesla's number one business line to fulfill that mission of sustainable energy.
But you also got to make sure that those electric vehicles are getting charged with clean juice.
Yeah, you don't want to be a vegan who's eating corn, but that corn is mowed by cows.
Boom! That's why Tesla's entire business line number two is solar panels.
And it's why Tesla acquired Solar City.
But part of Tesla's mission is also ensuring that anyone can harness clean electricity, not just John, the software engineer working at some tech company in Menlo Park.
No. He's got a lot of stack options, that John. Now, voila, enter just the batteries. This is the potential third business line, the third profit puppy for Tesla.
Now, just the batteries is already a business line. They've been selling a product called Power Pack for a few years now. You throw it in your garage.
Yeah, we should point out that Jack and I made up the term just the batteries, but we think Elon could run with this kind of thing.
Now, this brings us to yesterday's news. An analyst at Wedbush Securities named Dan Ive just predicted that in 12 months, Tesla stock would rise to $1,900 per share.
That would be 15% higher than it wildly is right now. And the reason for the upgrade is a single day coming on September 22nd.
It's called Battery Day.
Battery Day. Feels like a science fair mixed with like Cirque du Soleil.
Now, the game-changing technology that we expect to learn about on Battery Day, could focus on improving batteries for Tesla's cars, like make them drive 1 hour longer on one single charge.
Or, crazy idea here, sell the batteries to other car companies.
Now, this brings us to an important concept for Tesla. Their battery game is arguably better than their car game.
Snackers, Tesla's got a bunch of gigafactories that specialize in electric car batteries, also great wedding venues.
They've also got dozens of Stanford grads obsessed with batteries who have a 10-year head start versus all the other companies.
I love telling you that they went to Stanford. But once dirty car companies finally get serious about electric vehicles, Tesla could start providing them with the core need, a battery.
It sounds kind of alarming. Help one of their car competitors, but they could make profits by helping their car competitors.
And they grow the entire electric vehicle pie. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Tesla?
Tesla stock is emotional, so these latest jumps could be completely unjustified.
Honestly, Snackers, Jack and I were on vacation. Our phones get blown up because Tesla didn't take a vacation.
I spat out my fish food ice cream mid-Godfather Part 2 on a notification on my phone that like made no sense.
Yeah, Jack sent me a picture. He almost choked on a little pretzel.
Tesla announced last week a stock split. They're cutting every Tesla share into 5 equally sized smaller Tesla shares.
But here's the thing. That stock split has no material impact whatsoever on Tesla's value as a company, and yet the stock jumped 15% after the announcement.
Now, Nick and I think that's because Tesla shareholders, many of them are zealous fanboys and fangirls of Elon Musk.
And many of them are snackers, which is great, but they're driven by excitement for potential, not necessarily the earnings per share fundamentals of Tesla.
Now, this second profit puppy we're talking about, making a whole line that just sells car batteries to other car companies, that's exciting too.
But the stock for Tesla is already insanely highly priced and could still fall. For our second story, Diageo, the world's largest liquor company, just made its biggest acquisition in years.
It's buying Ryan Reynolds' gin brand for $610 million.
I love what you did there. By the way, we had to rehearse Ryan Reynolds 12 different times to say that.
Unique New York.
Now, Diageo, you may not be as familiar with, it sounds like a European DJ.
It's actually a publicly traded liquor company that basically sponsors the duty-free section at every international airport.
You walk in, they got the 40-gallon tank of like Johnny Walker. Now, duty, by the way, we've never knowingly actually paid, but we love avoiding it at airports. It is charming.
Yes, we do. Now, Aviation Gin is the company of focus here. It acts like a simple small town beverage company.
Yeah, they say they're made in Portland's craft distilleries, which sounds duplicative because that's all that Portland does, craft.
It's actually the second largest premium gin brand today, though, behind Gordon's, which I thought was one of those like plastic bottle discount gin companies, actually.
It does come in that version, but also owned by Diageo. Turns out Aviation Gin sales doubled to $40 million in the last year. And that growth is thanks to Ryan Reynolds, the A-list celebrity actor from Deadpool, also known for his Pikachu voice, his chiseled features, and for being apparently vaguely Canadian. Ryan Reynolds, definitely a snacker, and definitely plays hockey up in Canada. The context here, though, snackers, is that Diageo's profits, we just found out, fell by half last quarter, because all the bars were closed. You're not getting that Gordon's. Drinking is still happening during the Corona economy, but it's happening at home where nobody is impressed you drop $17 on like a thimble of booze. So to replace bar sales that aren't happening with liquor store sales for at-home drinking, premium liquor companies can't just rely on their expensiveness. So Diageo has created its own shelf of liquor within the entire fragmented liquor industry. We're calling Diageo's type of liquor celebrity-infused premium booze. This is top-shelf liquor, but it's to the right of the shelf behind a velvet rope, and you have to know someone to order it. Exactly. This started back in 2007 when Diageo bought Ciroc, the vodka company headed by Sean P. Diddy Combs. A decade later, they kicked things up a notch. They splurged nearly $1 billion for Casamigos tequila brought to you by George Clooney, another A-list actor with a fantastic chin. Which brings us to 2020 when Diageo just dropped $610 million for Aviation Gin by Ryan Reynolds.
The theme here is chins.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Diageo? Celebrities now come with built-in brand equity thanks to Instagram. Snackers, part of this is like your classic trust and recognition that we've all gotten to know from like celebrity endorsements.
We've all been at a liquor store with one mission to buy a bottle of gin, but there's like 100 different bottles that you're staring up at clueless.
You got Juniper, you want light Juniper, do you want heavy Juniper? What is Juniper? They're asking you these questions.
They're all $50. You don't know which ones are worth it, which one is a ripoff, but you do trust Ryan Reynolds' perfect chin.
You always trust that chin. But what Diageo is doing here is more than just a celebrity endorsement. Ryan brings Diageo a built-in marketing strategy built on influencer trust.
36 million followers check out Ryan every day on Instagram, and they trust him.
And Jack and I have seen this play out elsewhere when it comes to the booze industry.
The Fat Jew, the famous Instagram celebrity, recently sold his White Girl Rosé brand to Budweiser.
And we've seen this play out in the cosmetics industry.
Kylie and Kim Kardashian both got sweet billion-dollar deals with Coty to sell their cosmetic brands.
And we're pretty sure Turtle's whole plotline in Entourage Season 3 was exactly what Ryan Reynolds just did.
Vinny! He's doing the movie!
For our third and final story, Uber and Lyft are planning to shut down in California on Thursday.
It's true. But Uber is betting that drivers and riders would rather have mean Uber instead of no Uber at all.
Sounds like a Muppet Show kind of thing. Now, this brings us to a core set of letters and numbers known as AB-5. AB-5.
This is the law passed in California that targets Uber and Lyft, but it also applies to any company using gig or freelance workers.
Basically, this law comes down to like a two-question questionnaire. Do you perform the core function of a company, Jack?
If so, congratulations. You must be treated like a full-time employee.
So Uber and Lyft drivers drive the cars, which is clearly the core function of a car driving business.
However, they are not being treated like full-time employees.
No.
So they are not in compliance with AB5 right now.
Drivers get paid based on the number of rides they do, and that's it.
Right. The hours that you work as an Uber driver, that guarantees nothing. So you only pop in your Prius to do some rides if demand for rides is high.
Uber is just playing the matchmaker here. They fix up the driver supply with the rider demand, and that's it. They get out of the way.
So the driver to Uber relationship currently is totally different than your buddy who actually landed a real job at Uber HQ and is working in San Francisco with all the perks.
NBA Amanda's walking into work at Uber, getting the spa water, works in corporate dev, has the salary, the health insurance, and unemployment if she's laid off.
So now it has been 1 year since Governor Newsom signed AB5 into law, and Uber has exhausted all of its legal tactics, and it finally has to comply.
Jack, apparently there is a finite amount of lawyers you can throw at a problem despite having limitless money.
Snackers, we're not kidding here. Lyft emailed me and it said, thanks to AB5 and politicians in California, we are stopping Lyft operations in California starting Thursday. Please vote for Prop 22 so that you can get your Lyft back.
Jack got very excited. At first he was like, it's kind of felt like you thought you were the only one getting emailed over here. Now, the one catch here is a potential solution called Proposition 22, or as Jack and I like to call it, the Goldilocks option.
Not too employee-ish, not too gig-ish, just right there in the middle. Lyft and Uber are urging California users to vote on yes on Proposition 22 because this is like a middle of the road kind of situation.
Right. In November, on the ballot in California, you'll get like Trump versus Biden, but you'll also get yes versus no when it comes to Prop 22, which would guarantee some pay, some healthcare, but it'll be less costly and less disruptive as AB5.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Uber and Lyft?
This was the evil genius of Uber founder Travis Kalanick.
Snackers, Uber's founder believed you would end up loving Uber so much that regulators would have to let it operate.
We've seen this playbook before from Uber, but not at the scale of the state of California.
No, here's what we're seeing. You know, the Uber ignores local laws, launches anyway, people love Uber, Uber gets banned by mayor.
And then the mayor caves
yep.
because the public is very upset that they lost Uber, and the mayor wants to stay the mayor.
People want Uber, mayor wants mayor.
Now, the incredible convenience that Uber and Lyft offers to lifestyles of riders and drivers gives Uber awesome advantage.
Let this sink in. Uber is not going to be available on Thursday in its hometown state of California.
They are shutting down until they manage to change the rules to a way that they like them with the November ballots.
Jack, can you and your chin whip up the takeaways for all of us, please?
Nick, I'm flattered. Tesla stock jumped on dreams that the next profit puppy could be just the batteries.
Tesla's battery game is arguably better than its car game.
Our second story, Diageo sells celebrity-infused premium liquors.
And thanks to Instagram, A-list celebs bring free direct-to-consumer marketing a new thing.
Third and final story, Uber and Lyft are shutting down for the 50-something million Californians starting on Thursday.
It's round in any direction. Remember Travis's evil genius plan, Jack, the honors.
Uber doesn't comply with laws. Laws comply with Uber.
Recite it every all hands. Now time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by Clint in lovely Lancaster, Pennsylvania, because Clint loves lovely Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania should put this right at the top of its resume. For one day, Lancaster, PA was the capital of the United States of America.
Can't say that, Pittsburgh. On September 27th, 1777, the British had captured Philadelphia during the Revolutionary War. And then, Jack?
So the Constitutional Congress fled the city of brotherly love and went to Lancaster for one day and, like, stuck a flag in the ground.
Yep.
Before we head out, happy birthday to snacker Zach Coburn in Troy, Alabama.
And to Megan Tankersley in San Diego, California.
And Tiffany Zhang, also in San Diego, California.
And Nathan Akakian, a little north in Los Angeles, California.
And to Sandy in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida.
And then Eli Salavi in Miami Beach, Florida.
And happy engagement to Hannah and Troy up in Boca Raton.
Oh, and by the way, Elizabeth Delfs in Portland, Oregon, survived COVID-19. She was suffering through it. Congrats.
Not too shabby.
Snackers. For shout-outs on the pod, check out the form in the description of this year's podcast.
You all looked and sounded gorgeous today. Thank you for snacking. We'll be back tomorrow, but ask your buddies, HYHYSD.
Have you had your snacks daily?
I'll see you then.
Can't wait.
If you know, you know. The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts, who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC, and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc., or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only, is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.